¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 19 of season 2. If you've just joined us, I am Robin at A Tired Witch on Instagram. I'm with the beautiful Maria, Maria the Arcane on Instagram. And today we have a very special guest, another beautiful lady, Jessica of Magic Brows on Instagram. Yay!
Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, hi. Thank you. I feel like your voice just changed. Do you have a podcast voice?
I do have a podcast voice, yeah.
It's so sexy.
Wait till Maria gets going, because she gets really horny and it's gross. She's a deviant.
No, just outrageously sexy. Anyways, I just want to warn everyone who's listening, I'm actually not feeling too well this pod. So, like, if I start, like, getting very quiet, that's the only reason why.
It's because she has black lung, guys.
Yes, all those years in the coal mines are now having their effects.
It's bound to happen.
So, Jess, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I'm Magic Brows on Instagram. I'm a cosmetic tattooer. I invented a viral beauty trend called Astrofrex, where people can get, cosmetically tattooed freckles were kind of blowing up at the time. And the thing that I invented was a way to hide your zodiac constellation in your freckles on your face, so that kind of, if nobody like that saw you knew about it, they wouldn't be able to notice, but you could like point it out to people, or, you know, some people get it on their chest or their shoulders or whatever. So Yeah.
So cute. So cute. And it's been repeated so many times.
I think in our first podcast, we actually talked about you. Yeah. About how cool we thought that the constellation freckles were.
It was definitely one of the first ones. It was like the first or second episode, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just a wild, like, and it's funny too to like talk to you guys about it too, because I can actually like say how it really happened. Because when it first blew up, I had the idea while walking my dog at night, and I looked up, that's like when I have all my best ideas. You look up at the sky and then you just get like a lightning bolt. So I go home, and then the girl that I had an appointment with the next day, she wanted freckles. And I was like, I had this idea for this thing. I'm like, do you care if I do this thing? And she's like, and she was like, not like an astrology person at all. She's like, yeah, I don't care. I'll go off. And I'm like, okay. So, and she was like super duper pretty. Like, she was so pretty, I was nervous, but like that it was her face. And I'm like, so I did it, and I took before and after pictures, and it went great. And then as any business is, cosmetic tattooing is super competitive, and there's a couple big names that stand out, and their accounts are bigger than everybody else's. I'm sure you guys know how that is. And I was just starting. So I'm like, how the hell am I going to set myself apart? Blah, blah, blah. But okay. So then I posted it, and I'm like, what are the chances that one of these huge accounts aren't going to rip this off? And I'm just going to be left in the dust, and they're going to run away with it. And I'm going to be like, well, I made that up, but okay. But anyway, so I posted it. And it actually went correctly. And within 24 hours of posting it, who was it? Bustle. I think it was Bustle. DM'd me, and they're like, can we run a piece? And I'm like, yes. And then after theirs, like within a few hours, Cosmo Australia hit me up, and I'm like, what just happened? It's like, what? And okay, so this is the funny part. They asked me what my inspo was, and they're like, oh, this is so like ethereal. And they were trying to make it like a hip, almost like a hippie-ish thing. I don't know what they were doing, but they were like, what's your inspiration? Blah, blah, blah. And in my head, I'm like, I can't tell Cosmo Australia that the idea came to me because I'm a fucking witch.
Like, I can't. Sure you can.
I'm like, this will stop dead right here if I say the real reason. It's like, we're constantly focused on the sky and the moon phases, and you know, everything starts from a point, and you do certain things according to certain times. And I couldn't say that. So I just said some hippie. I don't even know what I said. I was like, I've always been into kind of like manifesting and astrology and blah, blah, blah. And it just kind of came to me, blah, blah, blah. And then people would come for me in the comments and be like, oh, we're going to listen to a girl that talks like that. Like, and in my head, I'm like,
let me get this
straight. That's not even the real reason. That's my fake answer.
Cosmo Australia is like, what was your inspiration? And you were like, hi, my name's Jess. I'm a white woman and I do yoga.
That's literally how I sounded. It was so annoying. I'm like, no. And then, honestly, I did so many interviews like that. It was like, whatever came after, like allure and glamour and whatever. So I had to just like be a normie. And then I think finally the first interview where I said the real answer was Inked Magazine. And I was like, I can actually talk.
That's a safe space, yeah.
Yeah, then I could finally talk. And now it's like I'm established and I don't give a fuck. So if I were to do it now, I'll say whatever I want. But then I was like, I can't ruin this.
Then you were like, namaste.
I feel like all those magazines now have like witchcraft sections. Like they talk about the moon and spells. Like you were just ahead of the curve.
It was too. This was, it popped off in late 2018. And this has all happened, in the last like 2 years, I would say. It all became more comfortable for everybody. So it was like right before, and I just couldn't say what it was about yet.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
what are your three signs? Sorry, Robin.
No, you're good.
Hang on, I'm really bad at this. I know my main sign is Aries, and I'm like the most Aries, whoever Aries. I'm actually a Pisces Aries cusp, and I don't identify with one single Pisces trait at all. I don't know why.
So you don't Pisces?
I do not. No. Aries, and then an Aquarius moon and a Cancer rising.
Oh. You're a Cancer rising? I feel like we've had this conversation before, and I said the exact same thing at the time.
I know. It was a long time ago.
Robin's rebonding with you.
Well, so speaking of you being open and proud and loud about being a witch, how did you get into witchcraft?
Good question. I feel like it kind of grew and grew in the last like 5 or 6 years. I would say being around Tenny and him doing all of his weirdness definitely helped. But I was always one of those weird little like dig in the dirt kids. I was always like finding bugs and leaves and making the little stick potions and I don't know, like writing a lot. You write your like little wishes down and you're manifesting. Like, I feel like I've always done it. Some people are just natural witches. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Me and Tenny talk about this too. His sister, we know is a natural witch, and she like will say all this shit all the time. Like once she was like, I don't know why, but every time I see a cute little bottle, I just save all these bottles and I don't know why I'm doing it. And we're like, cause you're a witch. she's like doesn't know. It's like in you, you already know. So I just feel like I've always known. And then obviously like from anybody, and it's weird how you're like a rolling ball that just like picks up more stuff. Like I feel like, you know, like I've picked up Tenny, I've picked up you guys, I picked up, and then it just keeps going. And then you create a little
you
club around
this,
yourself.
Yeah. This little, like, I hate to use the word coven. We all know in here how I feel community. About that word, but a community. Yeah. It becomes this like almost family that everybody is like, instead of sharing blood, they all just share like the same interests that grow together.
Yeah.
Everyone giving each other inspiration. I love it.
I think it's sweet.
I always say that to like my clients, if I ever bring it up to anybody, or you'll see people online saying like, ooh, they're a witch, or like it's bad. But it's like, I always remind people it's like, if you have a witch in your life, you should be thankful, because no matter what, they're doing every time we do something, it's not just, oh, I hope this good shit happens for me and me only and I'm awesome. It's like, we are always like, I hope good stuff happens for me and my family and my friends and my dog and my dentist. And, you know, it's like everybody, we say this shit for everybody that's important to us. So it's like, if you know a witch, just run with it. Like, you don't have to believe in it, but go ahead and let them do good stuff for you.
Yeah, let them do their thing.
Yes.
So before we move on to our next segment, I can speak. Words are hard. Speaking is difficult. I do want to ask, because you brought up Tenny, if you could tell us a little bit about your podcast with him, because I really like What's Up Weirdo, and I think our listeners would like them, like your podcast too. So thanks. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so we started, our podcast is called What's Up Weirdo, and it's on all the major platforms. It's kind of, okay, so it started from over the pandy. He was living at the time with his elderly parents, and his mom had like health issues. His dad had health issues. So it's not like I could see him. I was still kind of taking tattoo clients. I wasn't going to be the one that took a freaking virus to his house, right? So we're best friends, and I didn't see him for months, and it sucked. But we would do these just out of, I don't know, like keeping human connection. We would do these phone calls every night, and just and there would be a very high level of slap happiness because it was, well, we weren't seeing anybody when we're talking to anybody. So we would get on the phone at midnight and like literally cry laugh every night, like just about the dumbest shit.
I remember when you guys were doing
that.
So
we were like, this would be such a good podcast, blah, blah, blah. And then we just started doing it. And it kind of became like a therapy. Like, you know, at this point when we started it, his mom had passed. I don't know. It's just like our outlet. And like I was telling you guys before we got on here, it really doesn't have a format. We're just like spooky, and we travel a lot, and we're into witchiness and aliens and whatever. And then, so we'll talk about spooky stuff, but then we'll also just talk about like whatever. So I think a lot of people that listen relate to either the spooky stuff or the normal stuff, or and the other thing too is we have kind of an age difference, so people either relate to him on his age level, or him being a man, or the way to me and my age level and me being a woman, or whatever. Like, there's, it kind of just works for everybody, and it's just everybody's had the nicest feedback, like that it's super cozy and it's super easy, and it just it makes you feel like you're sitting with friends.
Yeah, I love how you open up with like a phone call. Like, yes. It's so cute. I love it.
Towards the end of my pregnancy, when you guys had first started it, because I was what, like 5 or 6 months pregnant when you guys started What's Up Weirdo? I basically lived in the bathtub, and I would just lay in the bath and listen to it, and I like wouldn't get out until I was done.
Oh.
And Frank was always like, why are you in the bath for so long? I was like, it's just listening to my friends. Like, it's nothing weird.
And then Smokeball is going to meet Jess and be like, mom, are you a mom?
I've heard you my mom before. Mommy? I'm sorry, mommy? I'm sorry. Oh my goodness. If you've just joined us this week, every single week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how we can use them in our practice. I am again saying that this is nothing to do with your personal astrological sign. Please stop DMing me. Please. So this is how we can take the upcoming lunar phase and use it in our practices. So that being said, what's coming up next is the new moon in Scorpio on November 4th. If we're going to use the new moon in Scorpio for our practice, we're going to be looking at things like intimacy, vulnerability, and focusing on things that have to do with healing. This is a really good time to focus on like shadow work. If you are somebody who utilizes shadow work, or if you're somebody who is debating the concept of starting shadow work, this would be a really good time to do that, especially with the alignment of the new moon. New moon, new you. Shadow work, yay! this moon massively has to deal with things like the death card in tarot. It's the connection of death and rebirth and starting again. And so that's why we see themes like vulnerability and intimacy, trauma healing, that sort of thing. So yeah, I would look at magic that is all about starting over, or not even starting over, deep diving into shit that you don't want to deep dive into, but you know you should.
I also like Scorpio moons because it's a great time for, like, at least for me personally, like divination and stuff like that. And doing divination for shadow work is a great way to get your, like, you know, thoughts, like look at your thoughts and then record them, you know, seeing what the cards have to say about your situation.
Yeah.
Get a new perspective for shadow work.
Yeah. Maria's like favorite topic.
Yes. We love shadow work. Yes, we
Simple
do.
Simon,
become a better person.
I think that this new moon is a good one to deep dive in on yourself. Get very live, laugh, love about it. Y'all thought I was going to stop saying live, laugh, love. Yes, again. Yes, again, shorties. I will never stop. My husband's going to be listening to this and be like, I will end my life.
You'll stop saying that. Ironically, and you're gonna start saying it for real, and then you're gonna regret it.
I'm gonna melt my face in a frying pan.
You'll be at Starbucks being saying goodbye to the barista. Live, laugh, love, bye. Oh,
if I ever did that, when I tell you that I would run out into traffic immediately. Like, that would be it. No more Robin. Goodbye. On a very real note, it is a very good time to do some introspection, do some journaling, look into things like shadow work, and maybe do magic that deals with processing some pretty tough stuff for yourself. So be kind to yourself this new moon. Look into stuff, but most importantly, don't push yourself too hard, because otherwise you might cry and then that would make me very sad.
So, if you just started listening to us, every podcast we talk about a random tarot card. We go over the universal meaning and then our own interpretations of the cards. Hearing others helps beginners form their own opinions, or even those who have been practicing for a while expand their views on other meanings. So, this week, we have another reversal. It's not because I've lost track about which ones we've done already, but here we are. So, we're talking about the Magician reversed. When upright, this card shows our magician standing behind a table. He's wearing a red robe over his white outfit. An infinity symbol is above his head. His right arm is raised with a wand in hand towards the sky, and his left hand has a finger pointed down towards the ground. On the table, we see the four suits, the cup, the pentacle, the sword, and the wand. In front of the table and above the magician's head, a garden grows. So the universal keywords for this reversed are trickery, dishonesty, and manipulation. So I actually personally feel very different about this card when it's reversed compared to the keyword meanings. Let me tell you why. I know we are. Let me tell you why. So upright, this card is about plans being put in place and how we're intention setting, we're manifesting, things are beginning to happen. We are using all of our resources to bring our dreams down to earth. When reversed, I see this as not having the resources, or the ones we have are insufficient for the task at hand, usually because the task is unrealistic or impossible. Think of this as a spell for what you want, something, let's say, that is toxic for you rather than something you actually need, that you need. The universe may not grant you it, and reverse, this card is letting you know that straight up. So advice-wise, it asks you to flip the table, start over, start fresh. But finding out what isn't working for you actually will be in your favor. You are starting at the beginning, but it's not at ground zero. You aren't being naive about it like the fool. I know, as I said, Robin's going to disagree, but I feel, you know, the sword suit already intensely covers for us other people being manipulators or tricksters, or even like the emperor in a negative spot can show someone using their power in the wrong way. But Jess, do you read tarot, or do you have any thoughts about this card?
I do. The only thing, I mean, you guys are obviously better at this than me, but the only thought that I had that is kind of interesting is one of the keywords is trickery, and this is essentially going to be like your Halloween episode. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cute.
That is cute.
Treats and tarot.
You know, listen, I hate to say Maria's wrong again. Okay.
No, you've said I was right the past few times.
That is true. So it's time to break the cycle. So. Maria has never been more wrong about anything in her entire life. We hate to see it. the magician reverse for me, and how it should be for everyone, I'm just kidding, is that when you have the card upright, you have this sort of divine potential. That you have the infinity symbol above his head. He's got all the tools in front of him. It tells us that essentially he has the power to make any dreams possible. He's got all the tools to manifest, right? And the power to do that is coming from the divine, the above, the universe, whatever the hell you want to call it. And when it's in reverse, for me, that divine kind of ability is coming from within. And it to me, this isn't a trickery card. It is a narcissist card. It is a card of assholes and shady people that they think that they know more than they actually do, and they're just so narcissistic and egotistical that not only are they not going to make things happen, but they also won't take any accountability for when it doesn't work out. It is a sociopath card. I fucking hate it. Every single time I see it, especially in love readings, I'm like, run, bitch. Run. So like, I guess technically that's a trickery and a con artist, but in my opinion, they don't realize necessarily that they're doing that, where a con artist, it's a planned out intention. They're just so narcissistic that they think, I couldn't possibly be wrong about this. I am the magician reverse today, is what I'm trying to say. Because I've never been wrong about anything ever.
Wrong about this card. I'm just kidding.
So anyway, I'm getting divorced from Maria, everyone. Friendship with Maria. Ended.
It's just a lover's spat. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. It's fine.
So if you guys have been listening to our last couple episodes or our new coffee talk segment, we had a clear theme this month, okay? The theme was ghosts. Spooky, scary skeletons. It was ghosts. And we thought for our Samhain episode this month with Jess here that we would talk about ghosts some more. We would continue that theme. Because I don't know about you guys, but Maria and I are both very fucking tired of talking about the Wheel of the Year for our guest episodes. It's fun, but we wanted to spice it up a little bit, because why not? Anyway, that being said, Jessica does a bunch of ghost hunting. That's like her super fun, good thing that she does that isn't obviously making people's faces more beautiful than they already are. So we thought we would talk about that. And that being said, Jess, do you want to tell us a good spooky, scary story from ghost adventuring?
So weirdly enough, I feel like, and Tenny kind of feels like this too. Most of the bigger, famous haunted places that you hear of, like the Stanley and Lizzie Borden Bed and Breakfast, and you know, whatever the big ones, they can get a little worn out, or like, I don't know. Sometimes you go to the big places and there's nothing left. It's like, they're not on 24 hours a day. Like, and whatever, if it's the intention of the people walking in and like kind of demanding an experience or something, you know, they're just kind of exhausted. So sometimes those places don't have the most activity. One of the, I would say thus far, the most active place that I went with Tenny and Greg and Dana Newkirk were there. Was a place called Benton Farmhouse in Kentucky. And it's still like a functioning farm. There was like sheep and pigs outside and stuff, but there's like an old haunted farmhouse that you can investigate. So my dog that I had before, this puppy that I just adopted, his name was Bean, and he went a bunch of haunted places with us. So I had Bean with me, and then there was like small groups moving throughout this big farmhouse. So, So we went up to the second floor, and for just a flash, I saw a lady in a black and white dress, like, do kind of a spin and then disappear. And it's, I don't know, it's really weird when you see, like, a full body apparition, you're just like, okay. Like, your brain, it's almost like doesn't even, you can't, you your brain can't fully go there, or you'll just go nuts or fucking start crying or something. So you're just like, all right.
So, sure.
So I saw it, kept walking. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that happened. So, and I have the dog with me. I can't, like, act terrified because they pick up on that shit. So I go to the second floor. Tenny was kind of leading a group up there. We hung out up there for a while. So then I come back down to the second floor again. And the way the floor was situated was you could kind of go around the whole exterior of the floor and then go back to the stairwell. It was like a big circle. So I had my cell phone in my hand, a flashlight, the dog leash. I was all discombobulated, whatever. And the place kept drawing the energy of my flashlight. It kept going out. So I was in kind of a right by the stairwell, and my flashlight went out again, and I'm like hitting it on my palm, and I glance behind me. You know, you feel like you're in somebody's way, like you're in the grocery store or wherever, and you just feel like you're in somebody's way. So I glance behind. I felt like another group was behind me. So I like look behind me, and I saw the head and shoulders of three people behind me. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I can't get my flashlight on. Give me 1 second. And I smacked my flashlight in my hand and turned it towards them. And there was nobody there.
No.
Nobody there.
Oh no.
I literally, in that moment, I scooped up the dog. I'm like, I think we're done. I think 4 ghosts is fine for tonight.
I scooped him up and I'm down the stairs. Now. Bye.
Yeah. And then there was like a few other things that happened that night too. And it was just like, did it really all happen at once? And it was like with a lot of other people in the building too. That place was like raging. But I would love to go back there too. It wasn't like scary. It was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
just
like, it was one of those situations where you're just like, okay, so this is happening.
I'll fall this away and think about it later.
I'm going to repress this, and it will come back to me in 3 months, and I will have a trauma episode. Thank you so much.
What made you start paranormal investigating?
I don't know. Probably Tenny again. I don't know. I go on a lot of road trips. So when I'm road tripping and like researching a road trip, I usually go historic and then like super touristy and haunted. So I'll try and find like the city's oldest bar and the, you know, whatever haunted place. And then like the Liberty Bell. I don't know. You know, I'll always throw in something that's like, I guess I got to see this thing because I'm here. And either like, if it doesn't have any famously haunted things in it, I'll try and find like a haunted hotel or a lighthouse or something. So kind of started like that. And then I guess going into the locations more came from Tenny and our friend Amy Bruni, who's on Kindred Spirits on Discovery. She has a haunted travel company called Strange Escapes, where it's like different weekends across the country in famously haunted places. And you kind of stay on site and do investigations during the night. And there's usually like a mixer, like party on the Friday night. They're so fun. So like,
I was going to say, didn't you guys just go to one with her like not that long ago?
Yeah.
Cause I was helping you look for a dress for it. Right.
Yes, you were. Yeah. There was one at a place called Belvoir Winery in Missouri.
That's what it was.
It's an old Oddfellows building, and it was like a old folks home, I think, in a hospital. And there's like 4 hulking buildings on this property, and they're crazy looking. The one main building is redone and you can stay in it, and then the other buildings are still like gutted and you can like walk through them and investigate and take your videos. It was really fun.
I remember the pictures from that place, and it was just so beautiful. Like,
I know
it, like, I know, like, logically, right? I know it's a winery, but it looked like a movie set of like an abandoned area. It didn't look real.
It looks just like that in person too. It's got a presence for sure. It's just like looming and like kind of sad, but kind of cool. I don't know.
Where was that place? You had sent me a video. You and Tenny went somewhere. I want to say this was like 6 months ago. And maybe it was at the Oddfellows place. Maybe. I don't remember. But you were on, it was like the middle of the day and the doors were like closing on their own and you like caught it on camera and sent it to me. Where was that?
The like banging thing.
Yeah.
That was, I'm not really allowed to talk about where it was yet because it didn't air on TV.
That's fine.
And, but it was an abandoned asylum.
So scary.
I was, it was a very big property. So they were filming in another part of the building. So I just took off by myself to where I had been walking around the day before and the place that I thought was the most active. I'm like, well, let me go back there again by myself, like an idiot. So I went there and something was banging in one of the rooms. And it was kind of one of those things where I heard it like twice. And then I was trying to figure out where it was. And then I passed the room where it was happening and I had to go backwards. And then it was banging like right in front of me. And this place was, you know, it didn't have broken out windows or doors. It was, it's bought by somebody. It's well taken care of. So it's not like it was a freaking raccoon or like a person. It was like, nobody was in there. There's no like dirt. It was, it's kept
really
up. So there's
up
no
too, right?
reason. Yeah, it was like, on the
not,
third
it's
floor.
It's not
there
like
no
it could have been somebody like on the ground, like outside fucking with you. Like,
no, I was terrified. I really was. Cause, and the other thing too was like, okay, what if something, I don't freaking know, what if somebody hits me or knocks me down? It's like, nobody knows where I am right now at all. Nobody even knew that I walked away, what floor I was on. Like, it would have taken a minute for somebody to find me. So,
have you had any like physical attacks?
Oddly, no. Tenny has. Tenny's been scratched a couple of times, and he has a show that was on TV called Ghost Stalkers. And when he was on the show, he has a history of heart problems, and something at one of the locations like literally started to give him a fucking heart attack. And it's it's on film, and I'm like watching. It's the craziest, and even with Amy and Adam too on Kindred Spirits, it's the weirdest like gut feeling, like horrible feeling when you see one of your friends or somebody that you like really care about on TV getting the shit scared out of them. Like, it's the worst feeling. Like, cause you can't help. You're like not there. And they kind of don't know what's going on yet. And I don't know. It's really weird. It's like seeing like a video of like one of your family members and like something weird's happening to them. You just want to help and you can't. It's a very weird feeling.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess
physically,
it's okay,
yeah,
but
mentally,
he's okay.
It's a little off.
He's an old man, okay?
You guys have a lovely rapport. Even me and Robin are best friends on Twitter. If anybody hasn't noticed yet.
It becomes a game to see which one of us can insult the other one the most. Usually he wins. But every once in a while I get him. Usually he gets me for my spelling, because my spelling is, as we all know, I'm an author, so you can't criticize me. And every once in a while he'll spell something wrong or like grammar like horribly, like he'll use the wrong "your" or something, and I get to comment on it and be like, you feel good about that? You feel good about that, buddy?
It's
my favorite game.
So do you do anything that like to protect yourself before you go into these places like witchcraft wise, or do you just kind of like go in like, you know, magically make it just so you can experience stuff?
No, I definitely bring stuff.
Okay.
Going in like, nope. I usually put on Four Thieves oil. I'll bring any number of crystals, black tourmaline or hematite, or what else do I have? I have from Robin, that pendulum that you gave me, I made into a necklace and it's got a bunch of stuff in it that's important to me. I put one of my old dog's toenails in there. Just like, you know,
anything
that I feel like got my back. And then I always carry Florida water too. So whenever we go into somewhere with weird energy, I'll hit Florida water after.
I love that.
Yeah, that's about it. Crystals, oils.
You mentioned
I don't bring like seeds with me or anything.
You mentioned the Four Thieves, and I like quite literally just posted an article on Patreon like a week ago that had Four Thieves oil in it. I think everybody should utilize it, and I feel like it's an incredibly underutilized oil.
Yes.
I like it. And it's great if you make it homemade and not just, you know, buy it.
Yeah. Well, I also use that, like, little secret that people probably don't, I hope they don't know, but when I have, like, a client at my work who I feel is just, like, too much, I'll put it on before just to, like,
protect yourself. You know me, Brand. You've already gotten the vibe from them. They're so
yes, like if it's a repeat customer, I'm like,
they're like, why do you smell a little bit like vinegar and a little bit like spices?
That's when you straight up just look them dead in the face and you go, I peed myself. Because I pee myself, and then just continue on with the session. Don't even acknowledge it further. Better than explaining.
Yeah, I can't tell them about the oil. No.
So you said that you used to try like staying at like haunted hotels. Have you stayed in any good ones?
One I really liked was in South Dakota. It's called the Hotel Alex Johnson, and it's really, the lobby is really hilarious. I don't know why. Like, you walk in, it just looks like it would be like a comedy horror movie or something. It's like somebody's weird idea of what a haunted hotel would look like. There was like just like weird taxidermy and like, I don't know. I literally can't describe it to you. I hope
right
somebody
now, I need to see it.
The lobby of the Hotel Alex Johnson. It was just, it's ridiculous. But they have a book at the front counter of other hauntings, and if you have an experience in your room, you go to the front desk and you write it in the haunting book, and it's really big and you can take pictures of it. Did you look it up?
I did. It's so
looks like somebody made a music video set of a haunted hotel.
Like, it looks like if a 1970s like low budget film crew was like, we're gonna shoot a movie. The concept is it's a haunted hotel.
Robin, message it to me.
I love it. But I guess like the lore I want to say when I was there was that somebody was engaged, and then before the wedding the lady found out that the guy was cheating on her, so she dove out the window.
Yikes.
And crazy enough too, when I stayed there, it was Devil's Night. It was the night before Halloween, so I'm like, oh, there's got to be activity, right? And of course, like, nothing happened in my room at all.
Of course.
Unfortunately. But I was still super glad I went. There was a bar next door called the Brass Rail, and I was with Bean, my old dog, and I had him in a stroller, and I strolled him right into the bar, and I'm like, is it okay if we come in here? And the girl's like, yeah, just if anybody comes in here and asks, he's a service dog. I'm like, okay, cool. So we like chilled in that bar with the dog in the stroller, and then I'm really getting off topic here, but earlier the day I had went to Badlands National Park and I got way too close to a couple of bison to take their picture. And then when I went to that bar later that night, I was sitting next to this like old guy and he's like, oh yeah, there's been like 40 gorings this year already. And I'm like, oh I almost died today. Whoops.
Whoopsie-diddle.
Just wanted to get that pic. Do it for the gram. My bad.
So, how did Jessica die? Well, she was trying to take a picture of a bison when she was staying at this haunted hotel, and did not go as planned.
She got gored to death.
Weirdly, she thought that they're wild animals, and that they could just, you know, murder her. Oh my gosh.
Is there any places that you want to go that you haven't visited already?
I have not myself been to the Stanley, which is so... It like infuriates me. Yes, I haven't.
I
want to go too.
Honest to God, like if you hadn't said that, right, and somebody were to have asked me that, I would have been like, "Shoot me last year."
Yeah, right. Like, I know. I just haven't gotten there. When I went to South Dakota for that same trip, I wanted to dip down and go, but it was before I worked for myself, and I had to get back to Michigan to work. For the place that I worked at, I didn't have enough time. And it was at that point too, when I was in South Dakota, I was 3 hours away from there. It was like
an extra day.
It was heartbreaking.
Yeah. Just to do it.
But I'll definitely get there. Our friend, Aiden does a magic show there, and he was on the Queen Mary for a while.
So cool.
Yeah. But he's their resident magician, and he's back there. So I would love to get out there and visit him and see the magic show. And
yeah. I really want to go there and that one hotel in Austin. I think it's in Austin. I forgot what it was called, though. But apparently that's haunted. Have you ever been to Savannah or Charleston?
No. No, I was... There was a haunted event in Savannah that was supposed to happen like right before the Pandy, and it got canceled. And it's still like on my short list. Yeah. I really want to go there.
I highly recommend Savannah over Charleston, but Savannah's great. Like, so creepy. I love it all.
I really need to go there.
We've hit the point in the podcast where Maria is trying to make one of the Carolinas happen.
Come visit me.
Yeah, it's totally good, actually. Everybody really enjoys it. Our last episode, Jessica, this bitch literally was like, cicadas are amazing and I love them. And no.
Listen here. Like, Southern Curiosities wrote me and she's all like, don't worry, Maria. I love cicadas too. So, well, yeah.
Okay, yeah, like one. Like, if there's like one on my back porch, they are cute and I will get up close to it and look at their little eyeballs. But like those pictures where there's like a whole tree covered with them, absolutely not.
No. I've never seen a whole tree covered in them. Like, I hear them, but I never can find them.
It's not like I want something bad to happen to the cicadas, right? But the idea of potentially being covered or in a space with many of them gives me anxiety. I don't want anything bad to happen to anybody.
Honestly, I've never, like, I hear them down here all the time, but I've never, like, seen a live one. I've never seen a live
really?
One.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I only hear them, and there's a lot of them. But
how do you know you love them?
Because they sound cute, and then, like, you know how they find, like, you know, dead ones, and they do them like artsy, like in.
Ugh.
Yeah, I want one.
Oh my god!
If there's one on my back porch, I'll send you a picture.
Thanks. I
this
can
become her girl squirrels. Oh my goodness.
And who doesn't love a creature that just stands outside and screams? I mean,
and goes on the ground for like 10 years.
Oh, what?
It's
best
honestly
nap
the
ever.
Dream. Just yeah. Sleeping for a decade, coming outside, screaming, and then like having sex and then dying. That sounds great.
Exactly. I mean, oh. So, Jess, what is stirring your cauldron right now?
Oh,
that didn't sound as great as it usually
it's
does.
Pretty good.
Wow. I wasn't ready. I mean, you guys talked it up, and then I still wasn't ready. Okay, so what is stirring my cauldron? Oh, well, I adopted a new dog a week ago. His name is Toad. Officially, as of last night. But the cuteness of the story is, well, not okay. It starts sad, but it ends good. So my dog of 14 years passed away in May, and I've been absolutely fucking miserable. Really not good. Everybody that's out there who's lost a pet knows how that goes. So, Bean, the old dog, was like a magical little nugget. Obviously, he went with me to all the haunted places. He's been around me when I did witchcraft. I like always called him like a baby witch. I'm like, you know all of this. You've been here. So when he passed and I was struggling really bad, all of these creatures kept coming around my house to like make me happy. So I had 9 different skunks in my backyard. Mm-hmm. I had 3 different raccoons. I had like 3 different possums, a family of cats. It didn't stop. I was like, what animal is going to come back here next? And it was always at the, like, I would get through the day and then the night would be really hard and I would just sob all night. And then he just sent me all of these like nocturnal creatures every night. So, yeah, I really wasn't ready to get another pet. And just like a week ago on Instagram, I saw this dog that was adoptable and I saw him in their Instagram story at the shelter that I follow on Thursday. And he was in my home on Monday. So I kind of felt like Bean possibly threw him into my line of vision because I never look at their Instagram story ever, and they didn't put him on their Facebook page and they didn't put him on their Instagram page, and I just happened to see him that night and I'm like, something jumped in my stomach. I'm like, I think that's my dog. I like, aww. I like knew it. So everybody kind of has this idea that it's Bean is sending me him, this little buggo.
1,000%.
Bean's name was like short and like a little round thing. So now this one's name is Toad. It's a short name and it's a little round thing. So
I love it.
I think it works. Sweet.
Yeah.
It's sweet.
So, Jessica, what's not stirring your cauldron this week? God damn it, I couldn't finish it.
What's not stirring my cauldron? I don't know. Okay, I guess people being mean to each other online constantly. I've noticed, and I don't know if it's the season change or what is going on, or people are miserable or they're burnt out from the pandy, but people have been just so nasty on Twitter, and it really, ugh. There's one thing about being rude and mean and terrible in your own life, but then when you make it public, anybody who lays their eyes on that for even a second, it affects them too. It just sucks. I wish people would be kinder. In all ways, words, saying stuff about other people's looks, it's just been very bogus online lately, I've noticed.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
The bullying's been so bad.
It has been really bad. It's been pushing shit up a hill for like the last probably month.
I did want to mention one more thing though, because I don't like to dwell on the negative, so I don't want to use this whole time to say what's bothering me, because really I don't try and let anything bother me. But I wanted to say a good thing. One of the things I'm really enjoying lately is I don't know her name, but she goes by Tidy Tarot Co. on Instagram. And I think that's her Twitter handle too. But if you just Google Tidy Tarot Co., she's got these little tarot journals, and you can get them on Amazon. And they're like a daily card pull journal. So you can write down your card and your feelings about it and keep a record of it. And she's kind of expanded on it. So now she has a spell work one, and she made me there was a crystal one. So you can do like what crystal you're using for the day and kind of document it all. And they're so freaking cute. And she's so nice. She's one of the nicest people on Twitter.
I think I've seen her on. Oh, now I know why I know who she is, because she's posted about my book.
I wish I could. I want to find her Twitter handle right now.
It is Tidy. It is Tidy Tarot.
On Twitter too?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, she's great. And the journals are like cheap. Like they're not even like. They're not even expensive. Her Twitter handle is Historic Ailey, Aleigh.
All right. I'll write that down. Yeah. So cute.
Let me see if you follow her. Anyway, it doesn't really matter, but she's really sweet and positive on Twitter. And she did actually send me and Tenny a couple of the journals recently. I haven't dug into them yet, but they're really cute. And she's really nice.
I like that.
And she doesn't have nearly as many Instagram followers as she should for how freaking cute her products are and how nice she is. So everybody go find her.
I will tag her in the caption. Yeah. So that way they know exactly where to go.
Yeah.
Love, love, love. If you've just joined us this week, every single week we talk about creators that we are loving right now. This could be shops, Instagrams, books, arts, photography, accounts, fucking whatever. These are things we found organically. So stop sending us. Stop. Stop it. Stop sending us your things to promote or offering to pay money. Stop it. It's been 2 years now, guys. Stop it. And just submit a new submissions email that does not mean for you to submit shit for us to promote on here. So that being said,
yes.
Maria, who are you loving right now?
So I've been loving, of course, a tarot deck. But it is I'm going to totally like ruin this name, but Fyodor Pavlov tarot deck. And his tarot deck is amazing and beautiful and gorgeous and incredibly inclusive. Like, There's all sorts of bodies, different ethnicities, and even queer representation in the deck. If you're really into, like, I don't know how to describe it. I was an art person, so it's just like classic art. Like, it's gorgeous, like with a little modern twist. But I will say that there are lots of boobies in the deck. So wow. If you're a prude, you'll probably be like,
ugh. The resident lesbian would pick a deck with boobies. I, for one, am surprised.
Hey, there's some like little wee wees in there too. I mean,
you didn't bring up the weenuses though, did you? You didn't.
No, just the titties. Anyways. But they're just so, they're like, they're beautiful. I really, like, I love the backs. I think the backs is what drew me first to the deck, because it's like, I don't know, it's like this rich, not baby blue, but like dark blue with like gold stars on the back. It's just really pretty. And the cardstock is buttery and delicious. 10 out of 10. So who you loving, Robin?
Who am I loving? I'm loving somebody called, it's an artist, and I also am going to pronounce this wrong. It's Sam Heimer? Hemer? Hemoglobin? I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm really sorry. But it is an illustrator, and I felt it was very fitting for Halloween because they've done a bunch of really cool Halloween artwork. As far as I can go back, it's all pretty much kind of themed that way. Lots of pumpkins and skeletons and Mothman and just spooky stuff, and everything is very like minimal in their color palette. It's like gray, black, beige, orange, or orange, green, black, whatever. But I really appreciate it. I think it's pretty cool. And yeah, I think that they're awesome, and everybody should go follow their shit. Plus, they've made some really cool labels for some vodka and rum and stuff that I pretty much don't drink a lot, but I just might fuck around and get some of their bottles just for the labels, because I am tacky like that.
Yeah, they need to make like a comic or something, like a scary comic. So sick,
right?
Like, their art would be perfect. So perfect for it.
Now, Jess, I know that you talked about those really cool journals that you were liking, but is there any other creators that you're liking right now?
Yeah, I would say I have two. One is the Chaos and Shadow podcast, our friends Kyle and Pagan. Me and Tenny did a live seance with them, he did a live seance with them. We did kind of a talky episode like a week before the live seance, but they do really fun stuff. They're super positive. They're super inclusive. They're really positive and nice on Twitter and good about sharing other people's stuff. So yeah, Chaos and Shadow is on all the major platforms. And then the other one, which I'm sure you've probably shouted out before, cause we're both like obsessed, but especially around Halloween, because they do like a prompt and a new cute thing every day, is Bunny D.
Oh my gosh, I love her so much. I would do Bunny anything D. for Danielle. I would truly do anything for her. She's just the sweetest.
Like, that artwork, I swear to you, I'll be scrolling and just like every single drawing just like lights up my soul. It's so cute and so clever. And I don't know how she busts out so many so fast. I'm like, I couldn't do that in a year. No. She just does these perfectly inspired, cute things every day, and has like one of the cutest tarot decks that's ever been created.
It's true. So true.
People are so talented. I can't handle it.
No. So cute. I love nice. It. So
I just think they all deserve all the success and all the recognition, and it's not fair when they don't. So that's why we have this segment.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for joining us on this episode. We hope to see you on Friday, November 12th for our 20th episode of season 2, or you can catch us on the in-between for the Coffee Talk episodes. Keep an eye out on our Instagrams or on our Twitter. You can follow us on all these platforms by going to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, for more information.
Or even better, you can join us on our Discord tier, which is First Coven on Patreon, so we can answer your questions in our part two next time. If you're loving Coffee and Cauldrons, also please, please, please take a moment to review us on Apple Podcasts. It actually helps us be seen more, and we love reading gear reviews. And thank you to everyone who's actually left one for us recently. We appreciate you. We love you.
Me too. That being said, you'll get to hear our sexy, sensual, beautiful, amazing, perfect voices for an additional 30 minutes if you are on our Patreon casting tier and up.
So again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from At a Tired Witch on Instagram.
And I'm Maria from At Maria Thara Came on Instagram.
And I'm Jessica at Magic Brows on Instagram.
All okay. Right. Ready? Ready? Okay.
One,
two,
three.
Bye.
Bye. Yes. Oh my God.